All right, here we go into the podcast. Before we do that, though, we just want to remind you that we have an interview with Justin Moore from a couple days ago where he came and visited with us, and hopefully you'll stick around for that. It's going to be at the end of the podcast. It's about 15 to 20 minutes of silliness with Justin that you don't want to miss. And once again, thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts. They've sponsored the podcast again this week. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
And now... The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Wow, is Carson a Jawa?
Yeah.
From Star Wars?
Hi there.
Hi there.
Oh, Carson is bundled up seriously right now.
Carson, I just met with the building manager.
Yes.
About we need a new door stopper for our back door because it's busted, and a new light bulb in the bathroom. And I told them when they have the air conditioning guys coming by next week, they're going to adjust the airflow in the vent in Carson's studio.
Aww.
To possibly.
So she doesn't have to dress up like it's the polar second coming of the Ice Age?
Yeah. Yes.
That's so good. I got to sit down to pee yesterday, Big D. I forgot to tell you about that. I came into the studio.
That was close. Well, glad you thought about it.
You had just left the building. You had just left the building, and I walked into Patrick's office and said, dude, guess what I just got to do? He's like, what? And I said, I get to sit down to pee. And he looked at me like, why? And I said, I'll tell you why. Because we don't have a light bulb in our bathroom.
Yeah, it went
I walked
totally
into
dark.
The bathroom. I turned it on, and it was like real dim. And so as I'm about to step to the toilet, it goes completely out. Like, it was done. And so I'm like, well, I know where the toilet is. So I felt for it, and I put the seat down, and I did my business, and I walked out. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm good. I didn't have my phone with me. Otherwise, I would have used that for lighting. And then I wouldn't have had to sit. Mm-hmm. But now I know what it's like. Mm-hmm. So it was fun.
There are some guys who do that. I knew a guy.
Like all the time?
Mm-hmm. He would. He sat down to pee every time.
Hmm.
I was like, why? He's a because I don't think about it. It's just easier.
One of my buddies, in high school, he would always go into the stall to pee. And I later found out, I think it was because he was raised by his mom. He didn't have a dad. It just kind of, that was just how he was taught to go, you know?
He would sit down?
Yeah, he would sit down. He would go in the stall, sit down and pee, and come right back out. I'm like, you know how it is. You all go to the bathroom at the same time in between classes. You're like, dude, you just go in there and just to pee? There was urinals. And he goes, yeah, I know, but I don't. I was like, that's weird.
Well, maybe he's got an issue with privacy. Some people don't like... Because here's the thing. Like, ladies, if you've never been into a guy's bathroom, it's the weirdest thing ever. It is like the Wild West because a lot of places, I'm going to say probably a good half, there is nothing separating you from the person next to you. Like, literally, you're touching each other. Like, shoulders are bumping. And it's...
They're not.
You've never bumped shoulders with people in the bathroom?
No.
What? I've never been to a urinal close enough that I've bumped shoulders with somebody.
I have bumped shoulders. Dude, I've...
Kind of tiny exaggerating.
Maybe not shoulders, but like elbows.
That's not true.
Lies.
That is not true.
You have never touched somebody in the next...
Dude, that's you want to touch him.
No. No, I'm telling you.
Guys, they're going, hey, what are you doing, dude? Get over there. You got another what? 3
You've
feet.
Never been to a football
Some
game.
Some dude
then.
Walks out and says to his
yeah,
wife,
I've never been
you
to
wouldn't
a football
believe
game.
This guy that was in the bathroom next to me.
Yeah, man, he was trying to rub my shoulders.
Space.
It was weird.
I'm just telling you, man, I have been in the bathroom where it is cramped and you got people, especially the troughs, like at a stadium or whatever. You're like this the whole time, and it's crazy. You're smashed.
That is like less than 1%.
That's a lot, though.
It's very
when you're touching
rare.
When you're touching other people when they're urinating and all that. Yeah, that's a lot. 1% is a lot.
Okay.
1 out of every 100 times.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm just gonna stop.
Yep.
I don't. It's weird.
Stop what?
I don't know what. I don't know. I'm seriously trying to think if I've ever been in a bathroom where they were that close.
I have. I just told you all about it.
Okay.
And then sometimes they have those little bitty tiny walls. They're like maybe, you know, like that long. And like you're shaking it too much, dude.
What I really hate is when I'm left with the urinal on the end, which was clearly designed for Bubba or someone else, you know. Sorry,
what is Bubba's that supposed
not
to
short.
Mean?
Bubba's not short enough for that.
Oh, you
joke
mean like
to be
the
funny.
Kid? The kid
know,
urinal.
Yeah, the kid urinal. No. The little Jimmy Dickens. I don't want to use that one. And sometimes it's the only one, and there's a line, and people are like, "You next, bro." Oh,
I
man.
Purposely, when I go to the bathroom, because like it's just a bunch of urinals on the wall, and there'll be like sometimes five or six of them. I'll go directly to the middle one, just because I think it's funny, because then it makes it uncomfortable for the next person. It's interesting to see where they go. Do they come up next to you and stand next to you, or do they go to the one on the end? You don't find that fascinating? It like tells a lot about people.
Man, just pick up a Psychology Today magazine. You don't have to go play out... your little social experiments. It's a dangerous, crazy. Okay.
Touch elbows.
I have the top four people mistakenly believed to have been a United States president. They asked, they asked Americans of all the presidents of the United States, they came back, they kept having the people would say these over and over.
Okay.
I bet I know one name.
And 100% sure. Benjamin Franklin is on that list.
That's
Benjamin,
who I was thinking.
He's probably number one.
Benjamin Franklin is on the list at number one.
There you go. Number two, Alexander Hamilton.
Number two is Alexander Hamilton.
I'm good at this game. I like this.
He was one of the founding fathers and the first U.S. Secretary of Treasury. However, not...
okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Not a president.
No, okay. I would say... John Jay, but I know that people are not.
A lot of people don't know John Jay.
Say John
no,
Jay,
the thing is, Hamilton right now is very hot.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, the guy that raps.
I'm going to say.
So, our rapping president.
By the way, Hamilton did not rap in real life. He may have,
no,
but like gifts and things.
Rap.
That's
okay.
about it.
So there are four.
There's two more.
Okay.
And
Robert Kennedy.
No, that is a good guess, though.
I wouldn't guess Robert Kennedy.
That is a good one. No, these are all older.
They're all older?
Yeah, like 1800s and that kind of stuff.
Okay, let me think.
Can I go back a little bit?
Is it all pre-1800? Is it all founding fathers?
I don't know,
Or is it all bad mothers?
I'm just reading. I'll give you a hint.
Yes.
This person has two names. It's like blah, blah, last name.
Not William Henry Harrison?
No, he was a president. Good job,
but he had two names. Yeah.
You want me to tell you?
John Wilkes Booth.
Robert E. Lee?
No.
Oh, that's a good one, too. I don't know.
David Rice Atchison? Atchison?
Oh, yes. It was on the tip of my tongue. I love when he narrates those BBC videos.
I thought people would have guessed that.
And the other one is John Hanson.
John Hanson or John Hancock?
Bop.
It says Hanson.
I think they mean John Hancock.
That means they really
What does Hanson, it say about it?
Hanson, widespread legend about Hanson being the real first president of the United States. Hanson was the first president of the Continental Congress under the authority of Articles of Confederation.
Yes, he was. I would have thought.
I've never heard of that guy.
Meant John Hancock.
The big signer.
He signed the Declaration
of
Independence.
But he wasn't a president.
But he was not also not a president. He was also president of the Continental
Who
Congress.
Who was the third guy?
David Rice. Yeah,
what
David
did he
Atchison.
Do?
He was a U.S. senator. His tombstone says
he was president of the United States for one day.
Oh, okay.
It's this weird thing. One of our presidents did not want to be. Help me out. Is it John Tyler?
Zachary Taylor. Taylor.
He didn't want to be inaugurated on a Sunday or something like that. So there was like. The previous president's administration ends on, at the time, it was April 20th, I think.
March 3rd.
Okay. And it just, it's, you're done.
That's pretty fascinating.
But he didn't want to be sworn in until the next day. So did this guy,
this one-day president, get a number?
He was an acting president. There have been a lot of acting presidents under the
Constitution.
So
it's like the war doctor. It's not Dr. 1, Dr. 2, Dr. 3, whatever. It's the war doctor.
So James Polk's term ended on March 3rd. His successor, Zachary Taylor, was not inaugurated until March 5th.
Could that guy go and get people off? Like, you know how they can do the presidential
pardon?
He could have. He has all the powers of the president for one day.
Yeah, he was president pro tem.
That would be fun.
That is pretty cool.
Of the Senate at the time. And so that put him, because his Millard Fillmore, who was going to be the vice president,
He also was not sworn in until the 5th.
And the old vice president's term had expired as well.
Yep.
The Secretary of State today would be the third person in line.
But at the time, it was President Pro Tem of the Senate.
Was before, yeah.
Yep.
Actually, I think it still is.
Who's a President Pro Tem of the Senate?
President
now?
Pro Tem was the head of Speaker of the House, I mean, then. Now Speaker of the House.
I don't
House
even know what
third.
Pro Tem means.
It's the President Pro Tem of the Senate is the highest, the oldest senator, basically. The one who's been there, or the one who's been there the longest.
Oh. I don't know if I want that
kind
of.
The OG.
Yeah. So
I think about the old people in the Senate right now, and I'm like,
That is the third person in the line of succession now. Back then, it was the second behind the vice president. So it's president, then the vice president.
So the thinking is that person would be the most experienced.
Right. Well, they're the highest ranking person in the Senate. They are. They preside over the Senate when the vice president isn't in there, which is most of the time. Vice president only shows up for important stuff.
Speaking of lists, Carson, this is for you. I have the top 10 ugliest male celebrities.
All right.
And I'm going to read you them, and you have to give us a hot or not.
I'm not on that list, right? I guess I'm not a celebrity.
You're not a celebrity.
Sweet.
You only got
paid
one.
Off for once.
You only got one of the criteria.
That's fine. That I'm a male?
No. Good job. All right, here we go. You ready? Number 10, John Heder, the guy who's on Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, not hot.
Not hot.
No.
John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
No, he's not, but I mean, he's a good character actor.
I just need hot or not.
Not.
Completely surface.
Not.
Nick Nolte.
Not.
Pete Doherty.
Pete Doherty from, was it Baby Shambles? No, he's not. He's a drug-addled mess.
Elton John.
No. No, what?
Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, yeah, that's a weird-looking dude.
He was Alex in A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, I was going to say Clockwork Orange.
He was also Dr. Loomis in the remake of Halloween.
Hot or not?
Probably not.
No. Lyle Lovett.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro. No.
Steve Buscemi.
Oh, poor Steve Buscemi.
No,
I knew he was going to be on this list when you started the list.
You know, Steve Buscemi was a fireman.
Just a really unattractive dude.
Yes, we did.
You know why we knew it? Because Bubba said it before.
Michael Jackson.
Oh, okay, but what era, Michael, are we talking about?
Okay, let's go the like 80, rock with you.
Yeah, that Michael was adorable.
Okay, let's go to the bad
even
Michael.
Even by bad, I didn't Michael even, still yeah, bad looks Michael, like a
like black or white Michael is all right, too. With
got a little weird by then.
All right. I was a big fan, so
let's
I probably
scream,
let it go.
Scream Michael.
Oh, I mean, do I get to hang out with him? I mean, whatever, no. Michael evolved to not hot.
Okay.
I also have the top the ugliest female celebrities.
Fair.
Oh, this will be fun.
Are we doing it?
You guys do it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, let's go. Hey, fair is fair, man.
Just hot or not. Let's make it kind of a lightning round. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Rosie O'Donnell.
No.
No. Miley Cyrus.
You know, I mean,
she has
look,
days. She has days where she can be really hot, and then other days when, you know, just like Patrick.
Sarah.
Some days he's beautiful.
I'm super sexy.
And other days.
Some days I'm Steve Buscemi.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
No.
Oh, poor horse face.
No. Yoko Ono.
The original horse face.
No.
Yoko Ono. Not my thing.
Lady Gaga.
Okay, you know, she's got one of those weird things.
She can be really cute.
Like
in
we
the
saw,
right light.
Like when you and I saw her that time in concert, she was very attractive. It was like, yeah, I kind of get it.
Can we take a step back? Like Yoko Ono back in the day, not unattractive, but if she's allowed to sing, minus 400 points.
I never thought she was super hot.
I'm not saying she was hot. I'm saying young Yoko Ono, not unattractive.
I don't know,
but
and I'm not even gonna bang it.
I hear that voice in my head.
Kim Kardashian.
I think Kim's hot.
That list says Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
What is it again? Not hot.
They were trying to get traction, obviously.
Obviously, just trying to get people to talk about it.
I mean,
that's
she looks
ridiculous.
Plastic, but she looks like good plastic.
Yeah.
Oprah Winfrey.
No.
Oprah is a handsome lady. Yes.
She's handsome.
Nicki Minaj.
I mean, Nicki's, it's like Miley, like they're weird.
It's
and
like
they
Kim
do weird,
Kardashian.
They wear
like,
weird clothes
she
sometimes, but she's not. ugly. Yeah.
Donatella Versace.
Oh, that's a, way listen, overdone.
That is a She's whole a different ball. That is a train wreck.
Isn't she dead now?
She can't. No, that's her brother.
She's not dead. Her brother's been dead a long time.
Oh, I thought they were the same person.
Oh my gosh.
No. Gianni and Donatella are not the same.
No, this is not early Caitlyn Jenner. This is she's actually his sister.
I didn't know.
She took over when he died. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Who else is on that list?
Kelly Osbourne.
Fair. I think Kelly's cute, man.
Kelly's cute. I don't know. I really have always had a kind of a soft spot for
Susan
Kelly.
Boyle.
You know, listen, that poor woman.
Poor lady. She knows.
Sings like an angel.
Steven Tyler.
She is hot.
Steven Tyler, more attractive than Sarah Jessica Parker. There, I said it.
I think they're about comparable.
All right, here we go. This is the big one. This will probably have the most.
I think Big D found like top10.org or something.
Renee Zellweger.
It depends. Now, Renee Zellweger from Down With Love was just adorable. Nope. Like, I loved her in that movie.
I mean, Renee Zellweger in Empire Records.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Come on. She's so cute.
She's my spirit animal as Bridget Jones. But are we talking post-eye work? Because she had her eyes done?
I don't know what we're talking.
She's still cute, though.
She doesn't look like Renee anymore, but.
No, not at all.
So y'all saying no?
She's adorable.
Jennifer Garner.
I like Jennifer Garner.
She's a beautiful woman.
13 going on 30.
I don't know why she's famous.
Are we on the same list?
Yeah.
I feel like we've had more
women?
Than 10.
This is just.
Yeah, because Jennifer Garner's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Nothing sexy about her. She's about as exciting
Marissa
as milk.
Marissa Tomei? No, I never was.
Marissa Tomei. Yeah.
I mean, what was the one with the Utes? What's the, My Cousin Vinny?
Yeah, My Cousin Vinny.
I mean, she was.
Marissa Tomei was hot in My
was
Cousin
she?
Vinny.
I don't remember. Yeah. I just remember she was in it.
Yeah. I mean, is Helen Hunt on this list? I feel like she should be.
Helen Hunt? I don't know. I don't.
Because like,
see
if
her.
You're gonna put Kim Kardashian and tell me she's not hot, like you didn't put Helen Hunt on the list.
Helen Hunt from Girls Just Want to Have Fun? No, but Helen.
Whatever.
Hunt.
That was when she looked the best, and that's when Sarah Jessica Parker looked the best, and a young Shannon Doherty.
Yeah, because most people look their best when they're like 19.
Well, they were.
Don't you think guys though age better than women?
Depends on the person, man.
I was watching an interview with John Stamos today. That guy is a vampire. He just doesn't get old, and he's
I don't understand how
he's ridiculously attractive. He's too good looking to exist.
How old is he now?
He's 50 something.
Oh my goodness!
Is he 50 something?
Oh, yeah. 55.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Seriously, he looks basically the same as he did.
Yeah, I'm
telling you. He might even look better.
Better.
That's crazy.
I think Tom Cruise is that way.
Tom Cruise is also a vampire. He's got.
He actually older. Was. I saw the movie.
Yeah, he's what, like 56? Right. Yeah, that's true.
Was the movie. I
did not look hot in that movie.
You think he said well,
he was weird in that movie.
Tom Cruise?
I heard that he is one of the coolest. You know, everybody can say what they want about how crazy he may be, but I heard he's one of the nicest celebrities to meet. Like him and John Wick, Keanu Reeves, are possibly the nicest celebrities ever.
I never met him, but I was 10 feet away from him at a party one time, and he was
Tom Cruise?
Yeah, he was super nice to everybody. Like, just over the top.
That's how
friendly. Yeah.
Well, you know? I mean,
you should be, but not everybody is.
Not everybody is. Most people aren't.
I feel like when you hit that, because he's in that upper stratosphere of A-lister, and it's like him and Tom Hanks, that they're just guys who are like, they're so, so super famous that they're like, hey, we're just cool. Like, we're just nice to people. Like, I believe Tom Cruise, there's always good stories about him on film sets that he's always super nice to the crew and gives them all presents and stuff. And
well, that's Keanu,
oh, yeah.
too.
Keanu,
he does the same thing.
He does it with, like, strangers, though.
Yeah.
Like, he was in a crowded restaurant. Some dude couldn't find a table. He's like, hey, you want to have lunch with me? Hey, Keanu Reeves, I'll certainly have lunch with you. He seems a pretty down-to-earth guy from all the stories about him.
I'm sure that gets really old of just all the people and... We all know how dumb people are, and they, you know, push the line, and they don't have boundaries, and they ask for dumb things.
I mean, even on a smaller scale, we get a little bit of that. Like, it depends on where we're at. We'll be at a restaurant, and somebody will just come sit down at your table. You're having dinner with your wife, and somebody will sit at your table, and they'll be like, hey, so they'll start talking about stuff on the show. And I'm not saying don't do it. It's just weird. I couldn't imagine what it's like on their level.
Yeah. Most celebrities say that they're pretty cool about being approached, but just don't do it while I'm eating. That's always kind of the rules. Like if I'm eating or having dinner or something, like, please don't. There's a story about the lead singer for Metallica, James Hetfield, that he was with his family in Chicago a few years ago, and people started noticing him and started following him and his family. So there's like this trail.
Like he was the Pied Piper.
Yeah. And so finally he turned around. He was like, hey folks, I really appreciate, you know, whatever your fandom of blah, blah, blah. He said, can we take about the next 15, 20 minutes and I'll sign, I'll take pictures. And then if you don't mind after that, I'm spending the day with my family. And we can, and that's what he did. So he spent 20 minutes, pictures, whatever, and then everybody left him alone. But the fact that he had to turn around and tell a crowd
of grown adults,
yes, to leave me, yeah, because it's not a 6-year-old following a guy.
I think he handled that well,
though.
I mean, that's probably the best. If you're kind of creeped out about it, or if you really want your privacy, I think that's about the best way to do it.
But could you blame him if he turned around and been like, "What are y'all doing? Like, don't you have jobs?"
Yeah, like seriously, I just don't get that. Why the whatever. That's why we have, you know, celebrities and people who are celebrities just for being celebrities.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, you know, oh, maybe you guys didn't know this. I got to talk to Justine Bateman. You know, she was on like Family Ties back in the day.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I got to talk to her earlier
this week. Her
brother's
awesome.
I know. I did not mention her brother, even though I really wanted to. But she just wrote a book about fame and how ridiculous it is because she went back to college a few years ago. She's like in her late 40s. And she said, you know, she wanted to go back for computer science. And she walked in the room and she's like, nobody knows who I am. These kids are all like 18, right? She walks in the room and the air went out of it because the people knew she was famous. And so she talks about going into restaurants and grocery stores and just kind of how fame is stupid, especially now that we've gotten into this culture of people who are famous for nothing. Mm-hmm. And she, it was very interesting. So there's a book out if you'd like to get it. Justine Bateman, I'm sure, would enjoy it. But she just talks about how ridiculous it is that we've created this society, specifically in the last couple of years.
So was the class able to function with her in it?
Yeah, I think she, I don't know if she got
like
her degree or not.
Like just addressed it or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, it was just kind of, it's a weird thing. And it places like UCLA and USC, you have a lot of actors, like younger actors will go to college at places like that. And I'm sure you have to get used to it, that somebody famous is sitting next to you, but I'm sure for the first couple of weeks, even
there's people
taking pictures, and that's part
and
of it. Is, you know, you've got
the
camera phones,
shot.
Yeah. People are all over it.
I have a question. Speaking of people, sort of famous people, when did we talk about the new Hallmark Channel movie, The Shoe Addict's Christmas? Was that on the show or the podcast?
That was on the show, and
we didn't post anything about that on social media, but apparently the author heard about it or heard it.
I think that's great. Yeah,
and I'm like, what are the chances we just talk about it on the radio and the author of the book?
Yeah, I was talking about how Stacy had posted on my personal Facebook page. My wife had posted a link to all the new Hallmark movies and when they were going to debut. And that excited me because I love Hallmark movies. I'm a dude and I love Hallmark movies. Sue me. But anyway, so I was talking about that when I said, yeah, this one's like totally written for me, A Shoe Addict's Christmas. And the author heard about it and reached out to us. I thought that was really pretty badass.
It was cool.
Yeah.
It's like Hallmark famous.
Yes.
Dude, I love Hallmark.
I'm gonna
see, the problem is Patrick and Big D, they're gonna act all tough, like, oh yeah.
No, I'm not gonna act tough. I'm gonna tell you that they're stupid.
They're not stupid. They're awesome. They're sweet.
I know nothing about this movie. I'm gonna guess right now that there's a 50% chance Candace Cameron is involved.
Hold on now. We gotta give you the roster. It's Candace Cameron Bure. Or it's Lacey Chabrol.
Or
Danica McKellar. Or Alicia Witt has been making a run in these movies. So, I mean,
it's got to be one of those four girls. Got to be in.
Why are y'all hating?
Do you think I would know their names if I didn't watch them constantly? So I'm not hating.
I mean, and here's the situation. It's always somebody's going to be, one of them's going to be very business. They're going to get stuck in a situation or a place where they get out of their...
Because they all work in marketing.
They do. They're going to get out of their comfort zone. They're going to meet this person who is totally their opposite in the beginning, but there's going to be some weird little thing that happens that brings them together.
The Christmas spirit that they lost.
Yeah, and it's the best. It is the best.
And somebody's parents will meddle.
Oh yeah.
Somebody's parents will meddle in the middle of it.
They're the best movies. I mean,
it's not
they
even
have
meddling.
A form.
They're just
it's
like,
all
I see
TV
you were looking at
you,
Chris.
Unless you watch,
it's exactly what it
I
was.
I know.
Ooh, did you bake a pie for him?
Or there's some really awful fiance Wall Street guy.
Yes.
That he's, and we always have to get him out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
So,
of course.
But you never feel bad for him because he's like guest on.
The Town That Christmas Forgot, starring Keisha Knight Pulliam. As
Hallmark movies are great.
I mean,
and Lifetime and Freeform sometimes has some pretty good ones,
oh,
too.
Oh, my goodness.
Who's the other one? Ashley Williams. The girl from How I Met Your Mother, she's starting to make a play in those.
Okay, good. Yeah,
yep. I have a friend who is writing a Hallmark movie currently. She has a deal with Hallmark, and she sent me the script.
Wow.
Ashley Williams,
and
by
I
the
read
way.
It, and I go, yep, this is a Hallmark movie. There's, like, no plot. And they end up happily ever after.
They have plots. That some of them are really cute.
It's a meet cute. And then they live happily ever after.
That's pretty much how it is, but it's great.
It is. And it's part of it, I like it for Christmas, is because of all the decorations and you get the snow and you get the lights, and it just gets you in the holiday spirit.
There was one called The Snow Globe where she got sucked into a snow globe and was like in this perfect, idyllic, Christmas town. And then like the guy came out and it was kind of like he got sucked out, or he followed her out back into the real world. And so it was great, man.
I have a guy friend who will live tweet the Hallmark movies, because they will always reply to him because he's a guy. Because they know they're like, oh my gosh, we have a male watching.
So what I should do is start
live tweeting because Hallmark movies.
But see, the problem is, I think that'll take me out. You know, I don't want to take myself out of the Hallmark movie.
You know what?
Because I like to dive in.
The only thing I ever live tweet is the Grammys. Like, I want to do the CMA Awards and the ACMs, but then I feel like I would feel bad for making fun of people that we know.
Yeah.
So
I can't. I never do those.
I do the Grammys usually every year, and we have any joke that gets said in the room, somebody puts it on Twitter. I think I'm going to do a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yes.
When is this one coming out? Is it out
Look,
yet?
They premiere them
they
on
start,
Saturday nights.
Yeah.
Oh.
They
so
start on the 27th, not this weekend, but next. Yeah. They're going to do the first one, and I forget the name of it. It's basically, it's got a little bit of Halloween mixed
a
into
wish
it.
A wish for Christmas.
Well, it's got a little... Y'all are hating.
No,
it's got a little Halloween something in there. I swear it's like a Halloween
they
Christmas
do a lot of
mashup.
Halloween. They'll do autumn.
Well, this one is. Oh, yeah,
but
you're right.
You know what? You don't get. They're like, oh, we're staying away from the spooky.
Well, so yeah, because
you get like apples and you get leaves.
My ex-mother-in-law used to watch.
Every show happens in Vermont.
My ex-mother-in-law used to watch the Hallmark Channel, and she's one of those people who does not celebrate Halloween or let it be even spoken of. You know, if you know what I'm saying. So. Yeah, gosh.
The best
I remember
part of
going
them?
To do Christmas at her house, and it was on 24 hours a day. And this was in the early days. This is like 10 years ago. So it would be Hallmark Channel movies running in a loop the days before Christmas. So
That's
they're just
the
showing all of them.
That's the best.
Just all these made-for-TV movies that were not meant to be seen more than once.
He illegally downloaded all the Hallmark movies.
Oh, my goodness.
And so now we have them on a hard drive, so they run without commercials.
Oh, my gosh. That is
so we put those
terrible on
Christmas morning.
Most
they
people...
They have the best, like, little... They're totally perfect because they always fade to black right when they go to commercials. Like it.
So
they
you
don't,
know.
Yeah. I mean, they have the perfect fade to black.
My favorite part is spot when they're pretending this is New York City. Because they're obviously filmed in Canada. And they'll be like, he's on a block in New York. And you're like, wait, there's a park? There's green space on the sidewalks? This is not New York City, folks.
Yeah.
Big D totally checked out of this whole thing.
No, I was just
Did
looking
you find
at...
another great top 10 list for us, Big D? All
right. Top 10 Hallmark Christmas movies?
All right, top 10 Hallmark Christmas
top
movies.
Top 10 list that you might be gay. And number 10... $1 billion lottery now is
tonight.
It tonight?
Yeah, tonight. Tonight.
Tomorrow.
No, it's tonight.
No, it's Friday.
Oh man, I didn't get to go get my ticket, and I'm not going to wait until the last second. I'm not going to be that guy.
Hey, what are you talking about?
I'm going to the grocery store.
Mega Millions, which I guess is now Mega Billions. Mm-hmm. They'll try and get a winner tonight, and I guess. The more do the chances? How does that work, statisticians? Do when you buy more tickets, does that increase the chance of getting
does.
A winner?
Absolutely.
So we should probably get a winner tonight.
Oh, wait, I thought Patrick was going to buy some for all of us. And like,
oh, y'all
we
want to do that?
It.
Y'all want to put in $5 each and I'll go buy
totally.
10 tickets?
I'll give you $5 now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do it too.
Everybody good? All right, I'll buy 10 tickets. It's $5 each because it's $2 a ticket. And then if we win.
All I have is a 10. So Carson,
we'll
if you
split
have a
it four ways.
I do. I have a 5. I'll,
there you go.
I'll give you a 5.
Right. We'll split it four ways, and none of you listening will ever hear from any of us again.
No, you know what's crazy is I would still work.
Oh, you're that guy.
I would. I'm
telling you right now, you'll never see me again.
I would.
I'm going to call you to tell you that we won the lottery, and I'll meet you at the lawyer's office and the accountant's office, and you will never hear from me again.
I've got 3 mistakes you shouldn't make if you win the $1 billion Mega Million Jackpot.
Is it the top 3?
Top 3 mistakes.
top mistakes. Number 1, don't be careless. While $970 million is a lot of money, it can go quickly if you're not responsible with it. Instead of splurging on a yacht or an airplane, place a large portion in an emergency fund, high interest earnings saving account, or 401k. Also, don't go it alone. Managing that kind of money is a huge responsibility. Have someone who knows what they're doing.
Well, I've watched that show, that lotto winners that go broke show or whatever it's called.
Lottery ruined my life or something.
Yes, that's it. And it's horrible, man. And
the other last one is don't brag. Aside from new family members, close friends, and your financial team, you should not broadcast to the world that you just won $1 billion.
No, listen, if you win the lottery, and the chances that someone hearing this wins the lottery is very small. The first thing you need to do is call your lawyer. If you don't have a lawyer, get the best one you can find, okay? Don't tell anyone.
Not even your family.
Your spouse, you can tell. Anyone else, I wouldn't even call my siblings until I'd talk to my lawyer. And I love and trust my siblings, but no one needs to know because people can't keep a secret and it will get out.
There was a lady in January of this year had to go. She won $560 million Powerball jackpot, and she had to go to court to fight to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
So no one would know who she was.
Which, how ridiculous is that? That they want you to publicly declare?
It's different. Some states some don't. Some you can stay anonymous, and some won't let you do that.
A lot of those lotto people, they say you have. You know, first off, you get everybody asking for handouts, like somebody you haven't talked to since you were in second grade.
Yeah.
But then you get the people who get with more evil intent and might try to harm you.
Could you imagine, though?
Yeah.
I mean, like people wanting to kidnap your family members and stuff like that. I know how bad it is when, you know, there's a Kenny Chesney show near. And people are reaching out and they're like wanting
That's
tickets.
Right.
I want to be in the pit and I want this and I want that. And it's like, man, I couldn't imagine if you were an actual lotto winner of hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So when you're gambling as a really serious gambler. When you're gambling, outside of something like poker where you're playing against other people, but even in poker, the odds are important if you're playing with math. In casino games, though, what constitutes a good bet is if the odds and the payoff are close. It's never going to be exact because the casino has a percentage in its favor. But like in blackjack, you have like a 40% chance of winning and it pays 1-to-1. So it's not bad. In craps, it's a little better. Something in craps that pays that has 10-to-1 odds, a 1 in 10 chance of winning, you probably get paid like 9-to-1. So it's close to what you actually. The lottery today is actually a good bet. That's how much it is. It's a 1 in 300 million chance of winning. It's a $2 ticket. So if the jackpot gets over 600 million, then the payoff is the same as the odds, or in this case, it's better than the odds. So
it's very unusual.
It is very unusual. So
it's usually always highly in their favor.
300 million to 1 chance of winning the lottery. But if I buy a $2 ticket, I will win more than. And really, the cash option will probably be even odds, which is $600 million for a $2 bet. It has to get this
so
big.
So when
for
we
the
split this four ways,
bet.
Let's say it's $600 million cash option. We
cash
split
option
this four ways.
$600 million. We split it four ways. That's $150 million each.
Uh-huh.
Our taxes are going to be about $65 million. So we'll each be left with about $80 million.
I ain't mad at that.
Listen.
I'm down.
I'm good.
$80 million? I'm good. I'll call y'all from the beach.
I'll still be working.
Yeah.
I'll come in. I'll work.
Yeah.
Real?
I would go nuts. Like I could maybe take some time off.
Okay, but even Dee saying I would come in.
Yeah.
Would you want to come in, though? Or, like, would you maybe, like, hey, you now have the money to set up at your house?
We could set up the house anyway.
I have a studio, this is a place
to go to. People that have studios in their homes, including the two of you who used to have that, it kind of wears off.
It does.
Like, you want to get out of your house.
There's a novelty to it. And that's what I was going to say is, even if you won, let's say, $80 million, that's my take. There's a point in time where you go, God, and I'll tell you how I know this, because we get off usually around 12:30 or whatever after we're done with our post-show duties and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So what would I do? I would go fishing. And it is the best. For months and months and months, for like 6 months, I fished every day. I'm like, this is great. This is great. Well, after 6 months of it, you go, this is great.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a great life if I was 80. Mm-hmm. I still have some gas in the tank. So that's when I went and I did the volunteer fire department thing. That was part of what drove me to go and do it. I went, you know what, I still have some gas in the tank. I want to live my dreams. I want to live. And that's why I know for a fact, even if I won $50 billion trillion, I would still come to work because I would go nuts.
The way we approach it, though. It would matter much less.
I would still do it.
But no, would you stop interrupting me?
I would do it.
It would change the way we approach it because things. I swear, I'm going to start throwing candles at him or something. It would change the way
you
approach it from a day. You know what? I'm not coming in because I can't stand him. He's driving me crazy.
The first day he did this, you'd be like, you know what? I have $80 billion.
Please watch me walk out the door with my pants around my ankles for effect.
It'll be my fault that Patrick never comes back to work.
Oh my God. What I mean is things like budgets won't matter to you. When you have $80 million, you're not going to care. I mean, not on the numbers we work with now.
Yeah.
You know, things about, I hope the sales quota comes in. Like, would we still show up and do a show? Probably. But we care a lot less if people liked it. We would do a show that literally just appealed to the four of us.
It would be the show for us.
Yeah. And then,
let me tell you something. You want to hear that show.
I'm telling you,
that's true.
That show would be fun. You had
the audience is there.
Yeah.
The audience is definitely there for the show where we do what we want and don't care.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're close to that already.
We're really close, but we have people we have to answer to. Like,
we are. We have to be responsible to our partners.
Yeah, to the radio stations. And then the radio stations, you know, they all want similar but sometimes differing things. It's a very. You know,
when you have
$80 million, you're like, hey, folks, here's the show.
This is what you get. And if you don't like it,
get out of here and go buy our tickets.
Yeah. Okay. So we're doing $5 each?
Yeah.
You got my 10.
Bubba gave me 10. Y'all want to do 10?
I only have a Lincoln.
I don't have any cash.
You don't have any cash.
Patrick, if you got a 10, D will pay you back.
I just don't.
Really?
Or go buy a burger on the company card or something.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I will Bubba did not say
cash,
that.
Though.
If you're listening and you work for the IRS,
nope.
Bubba definitely did not say that.
I didn't say what? What are you talking about?
You good for 10?
Perfect. I only have a 5. But that's what I'm saying.
I mean, I
well, I definitely have donated my money.
Give you my Lincoln and I'll put an IOU.
Okay, that's fine. I'll go buy 20 tickets for Silverfish for the four of us. Right. And then
I'll bring you $5 on Monday.
You know what that does?
Oh, you know what? You can pay me $79,999,995 when we win.
I'm not worried about you paying me back if we win. I'm worried about you paying me back when we don't.
So
win.
Now yeah, our no, odds
I'll
go
pay
up, right?
Our odds
pay you.
Are now not 1 in 300 million. They are 1 in 15 million. Doesn't that sound way better?
Yeah, it does a lot better.
I mean, it's not a lot better.
So, do you want to put a little more cash in?
Chances of winning, not great. Yeah. 100 tickets is too much, but that's how you really get into some decent odds. But then it's still 1 in 3 million.
Yeah.
Are you going to send us a picture of our tickets so we have photographic evidence?
I can.
He needs to send us a picture. Oh,
yeah. I can send the four of us
that way he doesn't go,
nope,
we didn't win.
Not that I think he would.
I'm not going to do that. I will send you all the pictures. So we all know
like that
what our numbers are. Listen,
the scratch-off story is the best.
My mom was in town and played the Powerball a while back, and she hit I think it was four.
Are you supposed to tell us this? Are we going to try to kidnap
it was
anyone?
Like four numbers and the Powerball or whatever. What it worked out to was like she won like $250. So I'm like, hey, that's not bad. You know, if she had had one more number, it would have been like 100,000 or something crazy. So, it's, you know, there's other things you can win. If you buy 20 tickets, we might actually win some money.
Well, everyone have a good weekend. We're fingers crossed that we don't have to be here on Monday.
Oh, we'll be here, but we'll be surrounded by lawyers.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Yes. We'll be in here.
And if you're listening and you win the lottery, you know, listen, I know a really good show you can invest in, you know. Just saying.
Everyone else, have a great weekend. Be safe. Enjoy the time with your family, and we will see you Monday. Justin Moore spent some time with us. We have the excerpts from – well, not the excerpts.
We have the interview.
The interview from when he was with us. So if you are listening on the regular podcast, that will come up. If you are on Facebook Live, you need to listen to the podcast.
Download the Big D and Bubba app. That way you have it.
Yeah, and you can hear the entire thing.
And the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
Hi there.
It was the podcast.
Justin Moore is in the studio hanging out with us. Good to see you, Justin. Justin.
Good to see you guys. Justin. Hey, man.
Man, it's nice to actually see you whenever we talk. Like, we talk on the phone all the time, but we haven't had face-to-face time.
It's been a while. Yeah.
What's your middle name? Sane.
Cole?
Oh, yeah, dude. It's his Twitter, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah, Justin Cole Moore.
Do you like Twitter?
I don't like any of it, to be honest with you. I don't like social media. I grew up, I'm the generation before all that started, you know. I do Twitter. That's the only one that I do anything with.
You don't do like Instagram and all that much?
No, I hired a guy who's 23, 24, and is much more well-versed in all of that. So, I approve everything that he puts together, but he knows how to do it much more efficiently than I do, and so I'm involved in it, but I'm not the one actually typing the stuff.
And he just goes, all right, smile.
yeah, say this, do this. Is this cool?
So. Do you ever talk to fans through social media?
Yeah, the only one would be Twitter. But, I try to stay off it as much as – I try to let him run with it and do it because, again, he's just so much better at it and efficient, and if he – it don't get me in trouble.
I was going to say you don't give your opinions then, so you're
exactly.
safe on everything.
Exactly.
But I want to know his opinions. Like,
yeah,
that's the why.
But a lot of people want to know your opinions until they disagree with
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
And then they don't want to know your opinion anymore. So I'm just like, I'll just stay out of it. Here's the thing. The older I get, I realize I don't want to be into it with anybody about anything anywhere. I just want to like everybody. Everybody like me.
Yeah.
Get along.
Yeah. So. And I really think social media has ruined that because we don't have that luxury of not knowing how stupid other people are. You know? We used to think everybody was great. Now we're like, oh, that's an idiot. That's an idiot. That's an idiot.
And we find out real quick how stupid we are because people tell us.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. All it takes is one person just to say their thing and it'll ruin your whole day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a part of me that totally agrees with you guys about like just kind of keep it, you know, kind of vague. But there's a part of me that's kind of like, you know,
well, my
gotta
personal
stand for something,
my
stand
personal
for
Twitter, you know that. My personal Twitter and all that. I'll go on and I'm a big Second Amendment guy, you know. And I don't care red, blue, green, yellow, whatever your background is politically. Yeah. I will argue that one till the end.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to. It's
and
part
I love
of,
seeing those. People get fired, especially foreigners.
Oh, like, I get into it like, we're in New Zealand, and in New Zealand, da 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 da, so you shouldn't have guns. I'm like, I don't care what you do in New Zealand.
And I can see Bubba just fuming at home.
At the same time, though, when I was a kid, athletes and singing, like, I don't know what Alabama's political views are or what Michael Jordan's political views were, you know? Like, I didn't know anything
and
about
you
that.
And loved them
and
because they were
them.
Larger than life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't – Barry Bonds when I was a kid and Bobby Bonilla playing for the Pirates. I didn't I couldn't tell you anything about him other than that that dude can steal 40 bases and hit 40 home runs.
And also have the best contract in all of professional sports.
Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid. I think he's still getting paid.
From the Pirates, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, I think it was when he left the Mets. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
$1 million a year for – he's still got another – he hasn't played in a dozen years, and he's still getting $1 million a year.
It's a brilliant move. I need to talk to his agent.
That's a legend. Hey, Justin Moore is joining us in the studio. Always good to see Justin. Kids, you've got – are you done? Do you have the snips?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Do you have the snips?
No, but we've taken care of it. Yeah.
You just stopped.
Yeah, we quit.
Our wives made us do it. Big D loved it so much, he did it twice.
did you really have to do it twice?
I had it done twice.
It didn't.
The first one didn't work, so
How do you find out that the first one don't work?
Oh, have a seat there, Justin. Let me tell you about this. So you get the snip done, snip, and then they you have to go back and, like, what was it, Bubba? Two weeks, three weeks, six weeks?
No, it's like 2 months. You can't. Yeah, two months or whatever, 90 days.
Anyway, there's a period or whatever.
Right.
And then you, they give you, when you leave, they give you a little canister.
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of like, remember what Silly Putty would come in? Yeah. Like the little Play-Doh thing.
Yeah.
Like that, but it's clear. And so they hand that to you and they say, come back and we'll test. There's no instructions. They leave it very vague like that, expect you just to Google it and figure out what to do. So I left. He came back the right time and stopped off at the gas station before I got there and did the what I was supposed to do and then brought it. And I just had it in my pocket. Like, I didn't know what to do with it. I just literally had it in my pocket. And I get to the counter, and the girl goes, can I have it? I said, yeah, I'm here for the testing thing. She goes, okay. She goes, do you have the sample with you? And I go, yeah. And I took it in my pocket, and I put it on the thing. Holy cow. I might as well have had a monkey head. Severed monkey head that I pulled out.
How do you expect people to bring it in?
I'm like, this is what you do for a living. Why are you acting like it's a big deal?
Right.
Well, so apparently you're supposed to bring it in a paper
bag or something.
So. Which is what, thankfully, Big D had it done first, so I knew what to do. But anyway, so yeah, they tested it. His pipes weren't clear.
Six times. And then I had to go back and have it redone.
Oh, my gosh. I've heard, we've discussed taking this route, but I've heard buddies go, oh, man, it's nothing. And then I've heard horror story after horror story. And I'm a sissy. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little freaked out by it. Yeah. And so.
My neighbor had elephantitis. Like legit. Yeah.
Like a basketball.
Ugh. Yeah. Just saying. But you didn't do that, huh? Made her do all the work.
I can stand to grow in a lot of places. Like, yeah. Taller would be where I would start.
Have you gotten taller? You look like you've gotten taller.
I've grown 3 or 4 inches. Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
So you want to play a game with us?
Let's do it.
All right, Bubba, you got some great game show music for us?
Yes, here we go.
All right. So the guys love it when I do this. They don't really love it, but it's fun. I'm going to give you some things, three things that are maybe all true. They may all be false or one or maybe true. Or what do you get?
Okay.
And you guys all have to decide which ones you think are real or not. Number one, oysters are still alive when they are served. You only die when you eat them.
True.
I feel like that's true.
I feel like it's not true.
Okay. We'll come back. Millennials aged 18 to 34 are now more likely to live with their parents than with a spouse or a partner. This is the first time this has ever happened since record keeping began in the 1880s.
Also true.
Yeah, that's got to be true.
Yeah, true.
You think
more
are living with their 34
parents? 34-year-olds are living 30, with their parents. There are people, I see it all the time.
But were you saying there are more now than ever before?
I'm saying that between the ages of 18 and 34, you're more likely to live with your parents than with a spouse or a partner.
Yes.
First time since the 1880s.
Yeah. Yes.
That sounds right.
Okay, go on to the next one. We all think that's true.
That sounds crazy to me. The other one, Charlie Daniels once moonlighted as an Uber driver. Oh
God! I hope that's true.
Oh, man. I'm going false on that.
I hope that's true, and somebody had a camera.
I hope it's true, and I'm taking Uber everywhere if it is from now on. I'm not even taking a bus anywhere. I think that's false.
Okay, so we'll start with oysters. Oysters are still alive when they're served.
Crap.
Oh, man.
I love oysters, too.
Yeah, they only die when you eat them.
I was hoping that I would.
Unless you fry them. And if you fry them, that kills it. But if you don't. Millennials are more likely to live with their parents.
That's sad.
Sad.
Dude, you know what that probably means, which is the saddest part of this, is that it probably means that Charlie Daniels' thing is not true. Because if the other two were true.
Charlie Daniels has never moonlighted as an Uber driver.
Oh, man, I wanted to see that documentary. I would have paid money for that.
Yeah, they do that sometimes with, like, athletes, you know, where they pick them up and, you know, the
comedians.
Athletes.
For, like, a skit or something.
Yeah, yeah, and they're, like, in disguise. And they just pick them up and he just says, where are you headed? I'm headed to Georgia. Oh, yeah. And then he breaks out. Never went down to Georgia.
That would have been great.
That would have been great, but not true. So, man, we want to talk about this song that you've got that is, I think there are certain career songs, and I don't know, I want to make it too big of a deal that it is or isn't, but I don't
know. It's a great song.
It is a pretty strong one.
Thank you, man. Yeah, we haven't done anything like this since If Heaven Wasn't So Far Away, which was
That you?
It was a
big force. I always think that's Cole. I don't know.
No.
No.
And so every night when we play that song, we, you know, make mention that we certainly appreciate all that our military men and women do, and beyond our military, police officers and first responders, teachers, nurses, et cetera. Yeah. And we always send it out to them. And I just always say, we'll send this out to the ones that didn't make it back home. And one night it just hit me, man, I need to write that. And so went back to the bus and knocked it out. And you know, it's one thing to have a hit record, you know, it's great and it's fun to experience, but the one thing about that song that was really cool to me was it helped me through a tough time when I lost my grandpa, and to hear story after story on the road or social media,
meet and greet, somebody comes up to you going,
hear those stories about, man, it really helped me through a tough time or whatever. And you know, I think this song, you know, has the potential to maybe do some of that too, which is cool.
Help heal.
It speaks to the power of country music.
You know? Justin Moore is joining us in the studio. If you want to get the new one, it's called "The Ones That Didn't Make It Back Home." You can get that. You can get that now. So you still traveling as much as you were for a while there? It was pretty crazy.
We're not as much as we have been in the past. I remember when we first started, we were doing like 230 shows a year.
Do you kind of have to when you're starting off?
You do. You're trying to build a fan base, obviously. You're trying to, you know, create awareness and get your music out there. And for me, it also was trying to hone my craft.
You
know? Plus, you don't get paid as much, so you got to play a lot more shows. But, you know, but as I've had success, thankfully, over the years, that allows you to slow down a little bit. And, you know, and the family thing to me is the main reason for that. If I was single, I'd probably be out a lot more, you know.
And you have a much cooler car.
Yeah, I'd have a much cooler car.
But when I talk about this all the time, if we weren't married, how cool of a car we would have.
Yeah,
it always goes to what kind of car and what kind of airplane.
And how much money I'd have in the bank.
What would you have if you weren't married, you're just single, what car would you have?
I'm really not a car guy. Like a sports car guy, like I have pretty much what I want.
Well, what would be your thing then?
I mean, if I could afford an airplane, that would be sweet.
You can.
No, I can't.
No, you can. If you can afford a car, you can afford an airplane.
It's not a real fast airplane.
No, I'm talking about a legit airplane.
You're talking about a jet. Jets are a different.
That's a whole different ballgame. But I don't know. I'd probably have something old, like an old Corvette or Camaro or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not really a car guy. Like, I have a 3/4-ton pickup truck that's what I'll always drive.
Does everything you need?
Yeah.
I'd have a muscle, some kind of muscle car, Camaro, Chevelle, something like that. And then I would have a Pilatus.
It's
my airplane. What would you have?
Just an old Hummer or an old Dodge
type of beat around,
around just
the property,
something
kind
that
of thing.
Just runs over everything and
then
doesn't
you gotta
stop.
Have something so fast. I know you.
I don't know. I don't know.
Bubba wanted to buy one of these, but one time it's like a go kart with a V8 engine on it.
Oh, that's awesome!
The Ariel Atom.
I almost
bought that thing,
and it's like 0 to 60 in what's the time?
Like 3 seconds, something
holy
like that.
Cow.
And top speed.
It looks like an open wheel Indy car. It's the coolest little thing.
It's just a frame around you. There are no Wow. Like, if it rains on you because yeah. there's no nothing.
There's nothing.
You should check out the Polaris. I think they call it a slingshot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of something.
It's not the same.
Not the same. No, this is
even,
way
not
more
even
dangerous.
Close.
Way more dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
Way more dangerous.
This literally exists to for you to see if you can kill yourself.
My dad, that's literally I was about to buy it. My brother and I were going to go. And we were like, oh, this is going to be cool. We'll go in halves and we'll just share it. And my dad called and was like, hey, no.
When you were an adult?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This was a few years ago.
I'm a grown adult.
That's awesome.
I'm a grown adult, and my dad's like, no.
You're not doing
it. You
no.
can't do that because you're going
you
to kill
know
yourself.
Know something's a terrible idea when, as an adult, yeah. your father can still tell you not to do it.
And you listen.
And you listen because deep down you know he's right.
Yeah. I regret it, though. Dang it, I should have bought it.
Dude, see, I'm not a daredevil. Crazy. Like, I've got to the point in my life where, like, I drive exactly the speed limit. I'm just not a daredevil.
I drive slower than the speed limit most of the time.
Yes,
like
you do.
I'm in my Jeep and I'm like I don't care. And my daughter's like, Dad, there's people behind you. Slow. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, I wear my seatbelt to go like to the other side of the parking lot now. This is totally you know, different than when I was 18, 19. But
so
I'm like,
sad. Look what you've turned into.
I know. Big old sissy.
Remember when you used to be cool? Remember that Justin Moore?
Yeah. Remember the guy who used to sell meat?
That guy.
I miss meat more.
Yeah.
The guy with
Justin
a mullet
meat
selling
more.
Meat. Yes. Remember him?
Ding dong. Hello. Hey there. You like meat? Excuse me? I'm sure that was probably your opening line.
Most of the time, yes.
Do you like meat?
Pleased to meet you.
You had all of them. Were they in the back of your truck?
Yeah.
So you just
in a freezer in the back of my truck.
Was it like the Omaha steaks?
Yes, that same type of concept, except very much illegitimate.
Okay.
Illegitimate.
So, like Leroy's meat?
Yeah, basically.
Leroy meat.
We can't guarantee this is beef.
Yeah.
It's going to be tasty.
You know, it was a time in my life I'm trying to distance myself from.
Oh, no, man. That built character.
That built character.
That did.
Tasty
absolutely.
And cheap, but don't ask too many questions. Leroy's meat.
Justin Moore, everyone. Justin, good to see you, man.
Good
Give
to
our
see
best
you guys.
To the fam.
It's always fun.